Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Geraldo Vargas. Geraldo, how are you doing today?
Good. I'm blessed. How are you today?
Good.
Good. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. Yep. My pleasure.
Yeah, you are one of those faces. It's at the front door of
smiling.
Our church every Sunday morning, smiling. It doesn't matter where I see you.
Yeah.
You always have a smile on your face, and you're very outgoing. And so today I'm just excited to hear your story for the first time.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you grew up?
Well, I just want to thank you for letting me be here and give me the opportunity, and God knows why.
Right.
And
yeah.
Hope this is just a blessing for whoever gets to hear it. And I appreciate you guys and
appreciate
what you do.
Yeah.
So I'm originally from New York. I was born in Manhattan, Washington Heights, to be exact. So it's upper Manhattan. My parents are from the Dominican Republic. We grew up a little bit in Dominican Republic. Our summers were in Dominican Republic. We got out of school today, and tomorrow we were on a plane to Dominican Republic until school started.
Wow.
Growing up in New York, it was depends what part you live in. It's pretty rough in the city. Our streets were pretty good, but the side streets and other avenues were not as good. So the building we lived in was good, but everything around us was not as good, depending where you went to. So, but going to school was rough for middle school, what they call here, which we call intermediate school there. Preschool was good. I was a troubled child when I was growing up. I was hard-headed is what you want to call it.
I have a little bit of that too.
Yeah, hard-headed is what you want to call it. But I wasn't a bad student. It was just growing up and, you know, you get used to your environment and it comes with all the stuff you see and all the stuff you do. So it's just, you know, you live and you learn, and sometimes you just are attracted to what's not good because you're used to it.
So. Yeah. I've been around that area, and you can be in a good part and then be in a bad part really quick, right?
Like definitely. It's, yeah, you cross the street and it's just like, hey, what happened here?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, as humans, it is a journey, right?
Definitely.
We have a lot to learn, and I think people that are listening, no matter where they're from, can understand that. You know, I grew up in a very different setting, but I still had the same issues.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Were you a part of a church growing up?
So when we lived in Manhattan, my mom was Catholic and my dad was Catholic, but my dad never went to church. So I don't know what kind of Catholic that is. But
nominal.
My mom was a Catholic, but our families grew up Catholic. So my mom, I don't know how my mom got into church, but she became a Christian when we were probably 10 to 12 around there. And it was just like a culture shock to us because all of a sudden is we're going to church. And I'm like, we're going where? And it was just like, we're going to church. And at first we were like, whatever, fine. It is what it is. And then it was like, we're going to church again. And I'm like, hold on, something's not right here. Like, this is not my mom. Like, you know, so, but she started going to a church. And then we actually understood what she was going to, because now we understood it was a Christian church. Yes, she forced us to go because now she got into the church. God started working in her and my mom, and everything changed. We stopped getting whoopings. We stopped getting the slippers. We stopped getting all the stuff that, you know, you're used to getting. I'm just like, really? And it's just working. So we got into the church, and we were liking it. It was just, as kids, you're not used to when you're used to running around and doing whatever you want. And then it became a battle for my mom just to keep us going. I mean, we didn't really have a choice, but we would make her late. That wouldn't be good. And then we would just be obnoxious while we're in there and not want to be there. And, you know, so it wasn't like now the youth have their program, the youth have all this. You know, for us, it was, you got to sit next to me. And we're like, why we got to sit here? Like, we can be outside playing. You know, so it was a battle. But afterwards, you know, you get to understand why and the purpose God has for you. So it's like, thank you now for instructing me, even though it took longer than I would personally like now looking at it. But I'm thankful that you were able to touch my mom and get her to go to church and bring church to us. You know?
So although you probably didn't realize it at the time, God was actually building a foundation of faith in you because you were hearing it. You were hearing the word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you had something when you came to Christ to build a foundation on.
Definitely.
So it was worth being drugged.
It definitely was. It was challenging at the time. Now you look at it and I look at how, because it was four of us. So you could imagine four kids dragging them to church. And my sister was pretty good into the church and she was just as into it as my mom. But you got the three boys that are rugrats and want to run out and be obnoxious and fighting at church and being loud and, you know, getting on each other, you know, so it was challenging. But now looking at it, I'm like, you know, thank you, because without that, I don't know where I would be. So looking at how many times God has saved me from a bunch of situations, I'm looking like, you know, all that started with my mom, because now I see how God works, you know. So it's just such a blessing to be able to say thank you to God, thank you to my mom, and for the church that has accepted me in and has welcomed me in. So.
Right. And that's a great testament to parents, to take your kids, even if they fight you or even if you don't think they're getting anything out of it. Because like you said, now looking back, you thank her for taking you every week, even if you maybe didn't want to be there or didn't want to be in the service. You wanted to be out playing with your brothers or friends or whatever. So,
yeah, that's one thing that we have instructed in our kids. And like for my daughter, she's probably going through the same thing I went through with. Yeah. All of a sudden, my dad goes from being this guy that does drinking and smoking and all this other stuff. And then all of a sudden now he's not. And now I got to go to church, you know, and it's like, and I talk to her and I let her know, hey, you know, I understand what you're going through, because it's a culture shock for you, or the house is not the same anymore, but you'll understand what I'm telling you as you get older. But as I talk to you, it's easier for me to talk to you and explain to you than just drag you to church. You know, right. At least you're getting the side of, hey, this is why we do it. You have to understand, read the Bible. It'll tell you, look at how the world is. Look at the issues that you're going through, that I'm able to guide you and talk to you through, instead of telling you, you know, go do the wrong thing and then you get in trouble, you know. So it's the difference in how I'm able to instruct you, where for me, it was just like, we're going and that's it, you know. So be happy that you don't have my mom just dragging you and telling you, let's go, instead of, you know, and you have to sit there and be bored or mad at the world because now you got to sit there, you know. So it's she's coming along and she's doing really good. And it's just a blessing to be able to guide her in the right way and help her through her struggles. You know?
That's good.
So about what age was that for you when your mom kind of started taking you all on a regular basis?
So for us, we lived in Manhattan. That was before we moved to Yonkers. So it had to be around 10 or so, 10 to 12. I know that was, for us, it was just like, we're going to church, and that was just what?
Right.
And it was just like, it just started from there. So I don't know if she was going while we were outside playing. I'm not sure when she went, but for us, for her just to say, we're going to church and now we have to go, it was just like, it was only three blocks down the road, but we never seen this church. Like, we walked by there all the time. We didn't even know that church was there.
So you grew up going to church. Your mom took you. What happened after that? Like, when did you come to Christ? What did that journey look like to Christ?
So when we moved to Yonkers, it was for high school. So we moved from New York, from the city to Yonkers. My mom and dad split up. My dad went around his way. My mom decided that we're just moving to Yonkers. It's a cheaper apartment. It's out of the city. And I don't know what else was going on, but I know they were splitting up. So for us, it was like Party City. Like, yes, now I get to do whatever I want. But, you know, getting to New York, to Yonkers, everything changed when our church changed, school changed. We didn't know anybody. So for me, I'm like, I'm not going here because I don't know nobody here. Like, now you want me to make friends here. So for us, it was a challenge. So she was trying to get us to go to the church in New York, in the city still, which we were. But after a while, it gets a hassle having to get to church in our bus and then the train and get, you know. So then she found a church in Yonkers, and we're just like against everything. Like, nope, we're not from here. We don't like this part. You know, so we just all decided we weren't going. My sister would still go to church in Manhattan, but me and my brothers, we were just like, we're not going. But now we're in high school, we're able to say no, and it's a struggle for my mom, you know. Yeah. Coming to here in Harrisonburg now, it was, I'm guessing, 2010 or 11, I'm guessing. I can't even tell you how I came to this church. I just know that somebody had talked to us, my wife, and said, God has a purpose for you. And back then, I'm like, really? I'm like, okay, you know, but I never put no effort or thought to it. Well, somehow we ended up here at the church, and we were coming for years, and, you know, it's just like, we come to church, we leave, we still do our regular lives. We don't ever pay attention to anything. It's just, you know, you come to church because you're used to going to church on Sundays, but you don't take it serious.
It's religion, not a relationship.
Exactly. You get used to it. You know, my mom always did it. My dad always did it. My grandma always did it.
Tradition.
You know, so yeah, so it's a tradition thing. And you're like, well, I got to go because this is how I was raised. And, you know, coming to the Christian church is different because it's not the same as a Catholic church. You feel the difference, you understand the difference, and you enjoy the difference, you know. So finally we were coming here, and it's a blessing. And then, but we still had our normal everyday lives leaving here. So it's like, okay, fine. Pandemic hit and everything changed, you know, but as the pandemic hit and everything changed, our mentalities changed, you know. We were still traveling around in our business and doing whatnot with Amazon. We were doing our business, selling books. So the whole pandemic, we were traveling, still not looking for God as we should, you know, and yes, we made a bunch of money, but it didn't do us no good without having God. So now we've accepted God in our lives, and we understand that we were wrong for doing it our way instead of asking for guidance. Mm-hmm. And coming back to the church for the last 2 years has been such an eye-opening experience where now you take it serious and you're like, man, I was wrong this whole time. You know, it's, you know, why was that? But God lets you go through these processes that you have to understand. Okay, you keep doing you until you understand that it's me helping you, you know, and that's where we're at now, where I'm thankful that we're able to transition from the me to God, mm-hmm. you know, and accept what his will is instead of wanting to make money for your kids, wanting to make money for this, wanting to make money, where everything's not money. Yeah. You know, it's accept God and everything else will come.
Yeah, and, you know, Jesus really is patient with us. He's very patient.
Definitely.
And it's a journey. And, you know, we would like everyone, you know, just to get it, you know? And
yes.
It's not that way. It's a journey where God reveals himself, you know? And if he would just show us everything as we become believers, we would be overwhelmed.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah. It'd be too much to handle.
It would be too much to handle. Definitely. And he is so gracious to us to unfold what sometimes it may seem more than we can bear, right?
Yes.
But he's very gracious in how goes on that journey with us.
Right.
Yeah. For me, I look at it now and it's like, we tell our kids to be patient. We tell our kids, you got to crawl before you walk.
Right.
But it's hard for us as adults to do the same thing, right. Especially when we come to Christ. A lot of people think that when you become a Christian, your problems are solved.
No,
that is the biggest myth I've heard besides, amen. You know, when pigs fly is another, right. You know, like, so when you come to Christ, he just helps you walk through whatever you're going through and it makes it easier. It's not like Christ is going to be like, okay, let me just pull this off of you and there it's done. Like everybody has their own issues, their own problems, their own processes. But with Christ, it's going to be easier. So right. For the crowd that thinks, well, you go to church and now you're going through this. Well, it's a process.
Right.
You know, when you are in a rehab, you got to go through the process of being cleansed. So when you come to Christ, you have to be cleansed. Everything you have captured on your own strength or you think is your own strength is, okay, now you got to be cleansed and washed away from it because you could have acquired it by bad means, by unhealthy means, unfaithful means. And so you have to be cleansed either way.
Right.
But we have to crawl before we walk when we come to Christ. Mm-hmm. And yes, there might be one exception where everything just changes. But for the most of us, it doesn't work like that. You know, we have to go through a process of doing whatever, everything we did bad to be able to cleanse ourselves, to be able to be renewed into Christ and accept the journey and what he's doing in us.
Right.
I know that one of the things that I've said on here before is, you know, when we repent, that is to change the way we think, to
definitely.
Change our mind. That's what that word
means. Yeah.
And so we come face to face with situations and Jesus gives us an opportunity to do it differently. You know, he gives us, you know, we won't be tempted beyond what we can bear. When we are, we make those things right, you know, and we learn how not to do that again,
definitely.
Right? But it's a journey. It's, you know, people would like to think there's a picture, there's an image of where it's like what people think the journey looks like. It's a straight line from just straight to Jesus.
Yeah.
And then there's, in the midst of this image, there's this line. It looks like you're going around a mountain. You
definitely.
Know, it's just all curves and turns and ups and downs. And that's really what it's like. It's, we can sometimes, what we portray, we can make it look like everything's great,
Everything's great, yeah.
Which it doesn't help those that are struggling around us.
Exactly.
But when we learn that the church is not a place like this, is a place we come to learn. It's a hospital.
Exactly.
Not a social club. It's a place where we come and we learn and we heal and we grow. And out of that, what I see in you is I see someone who has deep gratitude for what God's done for them.
Amen.
Like your joy. You exude joy and are so welcoming. And I think about, as we were sitting here talking, I was thinking about, okay, I'm thinking about that young Geraldo in the church, not wanting to be there. And you see every kid that walks through those doors now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this, like I said, I didn't know your story until now. And this really helps me to understand your position at the front door every Sunday, making sure that there's no one unseen.
Right.
Exactly.
You make sure that everyone coming through that door. And that's what God does with our stories. When we give him our life, he takes the very things that were difficult, the very places that we struggled, and he uses them to change the world.
Right.
Yeah, for me, coming from the neighborhood I come from in Yonkers, high school was pretty rough. So like I told Grayson last week, you know, when you live in a corner and it's shootouts and you know, just all the substance abuse and substance selling and all the stuff that you get to see, where in Manhattan, we didn't see as much. We were in a bubble, mm-hmm. you know, for me. And then now you go around when I had to walk to school, you know, when I had to deal with all the gangs walking to school and the streets, and, you know, you can't walk this corner because there's a gang, and I got to walk the other corner, and then there's another gang, but you have to finally choose a social club or a gang to be able to walk these streets, because I had to walk the furthest out of everybody I knew, you know. And then to get to Yonkers, and you run into all this, and you're like, okay, so I go from gangs to shootouts in the corner, and then it's like duck, and, you know, and I look at all the stuff God has brought me out of.
Yeah.
And you look at how I want my kids to be brought up. And I look at all the kids that come here, and I know sometimes the kids are like, well, I got to go to church. But I want you, when you come in, you have somebody that pays attention to you.
Yeah.
I want you, when you come in, you feel like you have a friend, like you have somebody else that you can talk to besides your parents. Because I didn't have nobody to talk to. I had the one guy at church that was really good with us, you know, and talked to us. But it wasn't enough for me. It was, yes, you did, but you had too many kids for one person.
Yeah.
Where now, I want to be that. I don't care if it's 50 kids. I'll take on the 50 kids because I enjoy the kids, you know.
Yeah.
But for me is, how do I make it pleasant for you to come here and be happy about it? And then when you leave here, how can you translate that to one of your friends?
Yeah.
Because we were never able to understand, let me pass this on to somebody else. Where now, with all the social stuff that goes on in school, I want when you come here and you leave here and I talk to you, and I'm upstairs with the kids ministry and tell them, hey, if you have an issue, we have somebody here. Sometimes you don't want to tell your parents. Sometimes you don't want to tell somebody you trust. Where when you come here, if you want to talk to me side one-on-one, I'm here for you. If you just want to pray, I'm here for you. You know, where we didn't have a lot of this just one-on-one, you know,
yeah.
Or at least offer it to you, you know.
Yeah.
And when them kids come in here, I'm high-fiving each and every one of you, and I'm talking to you, and I'm like, are you ready for today? You know, and it just makes a difference to them when you come in and you're high-fiving them, and you're talking to them and laughing with them and hugging them, and they're just so open, and their parents, they're like, you know, they come here and see you, and they're a joy, you know. And I'm just like, well, God put me here, because it wasn't me, you know. You put it in my heart, and come talk to every kid that you see, and for me to remember every single one of your names, it's just like mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you, Lord, where you can address them, and they are open to that. You know, they receive that, where the parents are just like, talk to them. And if the parents, and then I'll go up there and I'll talk to them. Are you doing okay? You know, it's just so much that we can do for the youth that we take for granted. You know,
right.
Behave, be well, do good, listen to your parents with good words, but how do we help them transition into that? You know, and that's where I stand up there at that door and just be so happy. And then when the people are leaving the service, it's just being able to have a blessed week. Enjoy your day. You know, you see the elderly couples walking out, and I'm just like, that's going to be me one day, you know, just, and it's just a blessing to see both sides of the of church. And it's just, I just thank God. I mean, there's nothing else I can do. And I praise because you've put me here for that.
And you survived.
And I've survived a lot of issues, you know, growing up. So it's, you've had a purpose for me. You've cleared my bubble. You've cleared my family that try to suck me dry. You cleared my friends that try to suck me dry. You know, so you've put me around with a wonderful wife and kids, you know, a woman that works her household and is in love with God and has brought me here because she took on the faith first. And then it was, you know, I can call my mom, and my mom always talked to me. But now with a wife that, you know, is in the faith and has prayed for me, and she's like, I prayed for you. And I'm just like, oh, you were part of my mom with this, weren't you? You know, so, but
you got drugged twice, church twice.
So it's, when you ask God for a wife and a home that you're able to manage and you'd be a blessing, and he gives it to you, learn to appreciate it.
Right.
You know, at first, it was hard for me because I was so used to running around in the streets and everything else. And, you know, when you get a wife that's from her household, a complete house, her mom and dad are still together, you were raised different. And I was raised in the hood, ghetto, whatever you want to call it, you know, and you got a wife that comes from a decent background and just two flip-flops of a family.
Yeah.
You know, man, I want how you were built, you know, how you were raised, because look at how the four of you are growing up and how you guys are united and are able to still function as a family and do, where all of my side is just like a free for all, you know, and I don't want that for my family, you know. And that's where, you know, God just works his way in so many different aspects. And you just sit back and you're like, Lord, you did it again, you know, like, so, and I'm just thankful.
Yeah. And hearing you talk, a lot of things stick out to me, but you were talking about how when you become a Christian, things aren't automatically easy. You know, the Bible says we will have trials in this world, but take heart because I've overcome the world.
Definitely.
And you're also talking about the hard things that you've had to deal with in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear gratitude in your voice for the way the Lord has saved you and, you know, taken you out of those things. And, you know, you ministering to kids on Sunday, you want to make sure that they're seen. Definitely. That they know that the Lord sees them and loves them and cares about them.
Yes. Like when you don't understand as a kid, because we have to understand that for them, it's hard to understand. All right. They know is what they see. It's easy to say, do as I tell you, not as you see. But right. That's not how it works. It's right. They're going to do as they see, not as they're told. Right. You know, right. So, you know, when you get to come in and see the difference, it's so happy from where I come from what I'm able to do. And I ask God, everything I've done bad in my lifetime, help me double and triple it in good for your mm-hmm. kingdom. You know, because if I was able to be successful doing bad, then why can't I be triple the success in doing good for your kingdom? Mm-hmm. You know, the process of I've been going through the last couple of years, it's something where, you know, it's people don't understand. People look at me and you're so joyous and you're so, you know, so, you know, we went from having a lot of money to being broke, you know, but our business was top notch, you know, in the pandemic, even after the pandemic, you know, you go into and we accept God and everything is just flat on your face. And I'm like, we go from all this money to nothing. And now it's like, how do we eat? How do we do? How do we, you know, so now we're scrambling because we spent a lot of money traveling, you know, and buying and investing. And then it's just like, okay, you've come to me. And it's just like, you know, flat face. And they're like, how do I explain this? Like, so we're struggling. I have to go get a job now. We had our own business. So you're like, okay, you go get a job. My wife gets a vision for a job. I go, I take it. Then I get 4 months later, I get laid off. And I was like, she had a vision, because if she was told she's going to work there and got an address and got everything. Well, and she's like, and then I tell her, I was like, oh, I got a job offer at this place. And she's like, okay. And then she calls me. She's like, but that's the place I thought was for me. Like, I dreamt this and I didn't say anything because I thought it was for me, but it's the same exact place. And she's like, it's the light. And you go here, you go there. And I'm like, I didn't tell you no address. How do you know this? You know? And she's like, take that job. So I was like, okay, I'll go to the interview and I'll take this job. They offer me the job. I take it. 4 months later, I get laid off. And I'm like, Lord, there was a vision here. What happened? Like, you know, and then I'm unemployed for 11 months. You know, I get part-time here at the food pantry, and it's a blessing because it wasn't all the money I needed, but it was the community I needed to help. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not all about me. It's being able to, okay, even though you're struggling, what are you going to do for God's kingdom? You know, and now I look at it like it was well worth it. You know, 11 and a half months of being unemployed, full-time employment, I want to say, because I did have the part-time at the food pantry, but I got to learn how to help the community with little bit of resources I had, you know, so I can get you a box of food. Yes, I can accept donations. Can I go pick up donations? Can I do? And it was just like, man, I really like this. I don't have everything that I'm used to, but I'm still helping our community, you know, by picking up food, delivering whatever you need. And it's just like, wow, like, God, you're still doing it, even though I don't see all the accessories that I'm used to. I don't need accessories, which I've learned. I don't need all the material stuff. I need you in my heart and being able to, from the little bit I have, to give to the next person, you know, whether it's your word, whether it's the shirt off my back, whether it's, you know, my last $10, it doesn't matter anymore, because now I understand what you're doing in me, you know, like what you're working in me. And material stuff comes and goes, you know, that word I can give somebody else is going to stick with them. That last $10 they might need, my last $10 they might need to get something to eat. I can pray for you, but I'm going to pray for you after I get you something to eat. I'm not going to pray for you before I get you something to eat and say, God will provide. Yes, he's going to provide through me, even though it's my last $10. Let's pray after you eat. And that's where the big difference is at. And the food pantry has helped me learn that with the 11 months I spent there. You know, I was upset at the beginning. I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing. And I was upset, you know, but now I'm like, sorry. And I ask for forgiveness every day, because I'm like, now I see the bigger picture. And that's when you come to God, everybody needs to understand, hey, you're going to go through stuff that you don't agree with, but do we know better, or does God know better? Because we can't know more than God and then trust in him. That it doesn't fit both sides of the playing field. You know, now, you know, you've gave me a job that I didn't even apply for. You know, they called and said, we want to interview. And I'm like, I didn't even apply to this place. Like, how are you calling me? Well, we pulled your resume and we want you. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go to the interview. My wife is like, you're going to the interview. And I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. I better go to this interview, you know.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to start at Cargill, and it's a place I worked before I didn't want to, you know, and I actually did apply there. And I was like, well, I know they'll call. Let me apply there, you know. And then I just get a random call. Hey, we want to interview you, and we want you to be store manager, and we want to interview for a store manager. And I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. And I go in there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, this has to be you, Lord, because I didn't apply for this, you know. Yeah. It's just crazy how the Lord works, and, you know, you get to put in positions where you just are not expecting, you know. It's one of those things that you just keep surprising and keep taking the Lord for granted sometimes. And you're just like, and you're still working in me, you know. It's just incredible.
And to think about, over the 11 months, you had all your needs met.
Yeah.
Like, God provided in ways that you probably like, I'm not sure how this is going to work.
Yes.
But you're here today.
Yes.
And you all survived.
And we all survived.
Yeah.
So for us, it was you know, how I'm going to pay my mortgage, yeah.
Right.
How I'm going to pay my child support, how I'm going to pay, you know, the kids' needs, you know, keep the car. Like, it's just so much. And I'm just like, wow, Lord. And I still have it, you know.
Right.
We weren't making buku money, but I can tell you one thing we weren't missing was food. When your kids are, there's a different feeling when you can't feed your kids. Yeah. I can promise you one day, my wife helped out a lady that was needing food as her friend, and she just heard her on the phone and went and blessed her with what she had. We didn't have much because we were struggling, but she went and blessed this lady with food. And I remember distinctively, you know, maybe a month down the line, Pastor Sam shows up at my door with boxes of food. And I'm like, what is he doing? Like, where did he come from? Like, we never even told nobody we were struggling. Like, we were buying stale donuts because that was all I can afford at the time, you know? And I'm just like, and here comes Sam with these boxes of food. And I don't know how you got there, but we were thankful because now you know, we're not gonna, oh, we came to bring you food. Well, who told you we were struggling? Because I looked at my wife like, did you want to go tell him? Like, I was upset. Like, did you go tell these people? Like, you know, but
maybe the Lord prompted him.
Well, and it says, when you give to the needy, you're lending God, right? And when you lend God, he's going to pay you back. And sure enough, my wife helped this lady and we got abundance of food. Were struggling. So it's just, you know, the Lord just works in so many different ways that you're unexpected. Right. And when you expect stuff back, you're wrong.
Because you're doing it for the wrong reason. Right.
Yes, if you're doing it, if you're going to do it just because you're expecting stuff back, don't do it because you're wasting your time. I don't want something just because you feel pity for me. I want something because you actually understand and feel and care for what I'm going through. Right. You know, and that, and that's where the big difference is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a huge difference.
Geraldo, just in the last few minutes we have here, is there anything else? You know, you've shared a powerful testimony and Lord's doing great things through you. Is there anything else that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you'd like to share with us?
Not off the top of my head, but I do want to tell the audience, if the Lord is calling you, don't hesitate. I feel like then I can look back and think about how many times the Lord has tried to call me and I didn't understand. So I'm not going to beat it down and think that, you know, I knew. Looking at it now, I should have tried to understood or even asked for guidance at the time, you know. And it's one of those things where if you feel like God is calling you and you're having signs, trust it. Like, God is not going to give you empty signs. If you feel the heaviness of your heart to read the Bible, read it. You can't get anything more pure than the Bible. Go ask your pastor if you have one. If not, look for somebody reliable. YouTube is okay, but YouTube is not the answer. You know, you can get good stuff out of YouTube, but you have to be careful who you watch. So I have so many people that say, oh, I go to church online. I was like, that's not a church. Like, that's, you can hear it during the week, but to get to a church is, you're not going to get the same feeling or the spiritual feeling as when you walk into God's place. You know, you can listen to it and it'll help you during the week, but when it's time to go congregate, it's what you have to do. It's what the Bible says, right? But accept what God is trying to do with you. You know, it's one of those things that it was hard for me to understand. And now I get it. Now I listen to something and I'm like, well, thank you. I was just asking about that, you know, I'm asking you for guidance. So go with your heart. God is going to put it in your heart and just go with it. And that's one of the big things that I would like to express to the audience is God is going to call you because he's going to call all of us for something. It's, are you going to accept or not? And that's a big thing that I learned now.
I appreciate your words about the importance of the body of Christ. We don't go to a building, we go to, you know, it is a building, but it's not about the building. It's about
the people. The people.
Right.
And if you had not been here, there wouldn't have been a relationship with Pastor Sam for him to deliver food.
Right.
And you can watch things online and that's, you know, that has its place, but when we take ourselves out of the community that we've been called to as believers and we isolate, some people can't because of health issues, etc.
Definitely.
But if you can be a part of the body of Christ, be a part of the community, it's not perfect.
No, definitely.
There's no perfect congregation. No. You can look for that till the day you die, but we all come with our imperfections
exactly.
too.
Right.
You know, we're not perfect. So, yeah, I appreciate that. And just, you opened up another thought that I just want to speak to. We can go online and we can hear a lot of things from a lot of people, but are they even a part of a congregation themselves that are preaching?
Yes.
And there is importance in the authority of the church.
Exactly.
To be under authority. And there's so many people out that they can say something on a video that's catchy. And next thing you know, they have lots of followers and they have no authority.
And they have no authority. Yes.
So that's, I needed to say that today.
Yeah.
Make sure that whatever you're watching, that they're coming under the authority of the church.
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
Yes.
You can exclude all the bad and you can take good, but that's not going to replace the church.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Geraldo, it's been great to have you today on Hope Talks. Thank you for joining us.
Well, I really appreciate it. And I want to thank Hope Talks and I want to thank the Lord and I want to thank my mom. I know she's in her nursing home because she has dementia, but if I can just tell her one more time, thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. It's just something that I have every time in my heart. If I can tell you thank you and you understand me, But Lord knows why. So right. Yes. I'm just thankful.
Right. Yeah. Thank right. you. Very good.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Geraldo Vargas's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.